welcome to the Lucas Eye Podcast. I know it's been a while since I've actually done one of these, but we're back with what I like to call my health, fitness, wellness type style podcasts, I guess. This is actually why I started the podcast, was because I have a huge passion for health, fitness, and just being as optimal as possible when it comes to performance and all those types of things. So again, that's why I started the podcast before I started doing interviews and everything. If you guys have been with me for a while, you'll know I like to break down these types of topics, talk a little bit about the studies and the research, and then just from what I can garner from it and see if I can improve my own performance that way. And if it helps you guys, cool. All right. But I want to put a disclaimer real quick. My usual disclaimer, if you guys have listened to me, I'm a big guy on disclaimers. I have no degrees and I don't have any certificates, and I'm not a professional in any sense when it comes to the health fitness industry and everything like that. This is just a passion of mine, and I just like doing the podcast to talk about it and learn about it. So like I said, it's episode 19, and we're going to be talking about RMT, so respiratory muscle training, and why I use the O2 trainer, which is a respiratory muscle trainer. And it's something that I use almost every day in order to train my breathing and improve my performance. Now, before we get into all of that, they aren't a sponsor of the podcast or anything. I just love the product, and I asked them earlier last week if they would mind me just talking about it on my podcast, and just they said it was okay. So I just felt like I wanted to talk about it because, again, it's just a product that I use, and I really enjoy talking about things that I use because maybe it'll help other people. So before we get into the actual product of the O2 Trainer, for the podcast today, a little bit of a rundown. I'm going to talk about RMT. I'm going to be going over the history of breath training, why I use something like the O2 trainer, and why it's a little bit different than, say, like Wim Hof breathing or other breathing exercises, which are all really useful, but adding something like a breath trainer can really amplify the work you're doing when you're specifically trying to increase like lung capacity or things like that. Then I'll do a breakdown of the O2 trainer. I'll compare it to some of the other popular products that I've used or that you guys may have heard of, and why I use it over those. And then also cover some of the science for respiration trainers in the segment. Excuse me, sorry about that. And then I'll close off with how I use the O2 trainer and how you guys can use it to improve your breath and perform better. To start off, and before we get into the equipment, we have to ask ourselves, what exactly are we talking about here? And the topic which all of this is based off is respiratory muscle training, or RMT. RMT is just the improvement of using your respiratory muscles by doing exercise for them. Basically, it's just like weight training for the muscles that help your lungs work. So again, in order to breathe, you use all these muscles, and you can improve them actually by doing RMT. Much like you do your normal weight training to increase the effectiveness of all the muscles that like immediately come to your mind, you can do exercises to improve your lung function as well. And just in case, just in this case, you have to be a little bit more creative with how you increase your resistance or when it comes to doing your breath work. For a typical workout, you can just increase the resistance by upping the weight or using other strategies. You don't really have the same tools in your tool belt when it comes to breathing and accessibility wise. Like if you go to the gym, you don't really have breath trainers just lying around there. At the gym, you typically have all the weights that you need to grow and improve your workouts and everything like that. But for respiratory training, you have to go do a little bit of research yourself and do some online shopping in order to get the proper tools. And there's also some hacks that you can do. But as you'll see later, I find the most effective ways are actually going out and getting one of these tools. And a bunch of creative people have actually invented these in order to train your lung function is these respiratory muscle trainers. And before I get to the devices again, I want to talk a little bit about RMT. So the actual history of it and everything like that. It's been around for many years, and it was primarily targeted towards people with diseases where their breath was effective. For example, when I looked online at Physiopedia, it states that it can help people with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, COPD. So a lot of these breath diseases that come to mind, you can help a lot of them. I also looked at a Duke Health website, and even speech pathologists, it seems, are using this for people whose function have deteriorated because of a slew of health issues, say MS, Parkinson's, sleep apnea, just to name a few of them. And then they use these to help them. This is where I assume it got its start, because if people are having difficulty breathing or completing certain tasks, you would want to help them and find a way so that they could improve that, obviously. And eventually, and these RMT devices, I'm assuming, came out. I didn't go too deep into the history. But also, as they find that that helps improve people that might have a disease or anything, this was eventually adopted by athletes. As an easy connection, if you can breathe better and perform better than anybody that you're competing against, that's always going to be a step ahead. And so that's definitely why that came about, because you want to have that advantage. And there's three ways that you can primarily do RMT. There's inspiratory training, which is training the muscles that when you breathe in, and then expiratory training, training those muscles that when you exhale. And then the third way is just a combination of the two. So either providing resistance when you breathe in and out, or doing one of the other two by themselves. And from there, you can already see the lines that can be drawn on how to most effectively train these muscles in order to get the most out of your training sessions. Some of the questions that immediately come to me and that I ask myself, should I only do inspiratory training, which you'll see is something that is important later on, or should I only do expiratory training? If I shouldn't do one or the other, as a lot of things are, is there a good ratio? And is there a ratio that I can find to use these two so that I can train right and improve myself as much as possible? From there, now I ask myself, how do I start training these muscles the proper way once I know the ratio? So say we have a ratio, say it's 50-50, just to use a basic start off point. Now I need a way to properly train those. And this is actually a good segue into how RMT actually works and some of the studies behind the actual training. So RMT, we now know that it's just training of these lung muscles in order to increase our ability to perform. And then I ask myself, does this actually work and how does it work? This has a lot of layers. So it's something I really enjoyed looking at when I was writing all the notes for this podcast. Does RMT actually work and how does it work? And the short answer is yes, it does work. But again, I want to go into it a little bit more. I pulled up a meta-analysis published in 2013 in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research. It was titled Effects of Respiratory Muscle Training on Performance Athletes, a Systematic Review with Meta-Analyses. For those of you who don't know, I don't have too much information on my listener base. I know a lot of them I know personally. So if you guys aren't familiar with meta-analyses, this is where they compile information from different studies together, and then they try to see some common findings or if they can get some sort of final answer on all of these for a certain topic. This one is perfect for our purposes because they specifically look at the performance in athletes. So the one that I pulled up looked at athletes specifically, and whether or not they got a boost from doing these respiratory exercises. The studies that fit the criteria for this meta-analysis they looked at, they ranged from all the way back in 1946 to July 2011. After this, they also had several parameters that they made sure were met so that the study could then be qualified and added into the meta-analyses. It had to focus on athletes, one. Two, it had to be a randomized control trial compared to a control group. So we had to have a randomized trial of people that were using the RMT. So in this case, randomized group of athletes, and then a control group that didn't do any sort of RMT or a placebo of RMT. The study then had to have results from sports performance. This means you had to have numbers concerning like VO2 max, which is one of the most well-known, as well as how well your respiration muscles improved and the function, as well as other aspects like how much capacity your lungs could carry or how fast you could pull everything in for the air and everything like that. Also what I just thought was funny is that one of the criteria was that the articles actually had to be published in English. But from there, they looked at some studies and they found some interesting things. So there were 426 people total that when you took all the studies together that were included, so for the data, and they ranged from anywhere between 15 years old and 40 years old. So you have a wide berth of all these people. You have a wide berth of age groups in order to get some of your data from. And you have 426, you have a good number of people. And then the majority was men. So it's unfortunate when looking at data, if you can't get an even count of men to women, because again, things function differently for between men and women. I believe it was 80% were men. So unfortunately, we didn't have, or in this analyses that I looked at, it wasn't 50-50, but at least we got some sort of representation for both. And overall, they found that people who did resistance training for their lungs found a better improvement than the controls who exercised normally. They also found that people who were doing sprint-like competitions saw greater improvements than those in endurance sports. In their conclusion, they also had some really interesting points. They concluded that RMT does help out with performance in athletes, but in order to maximize this, they actually had a little tidbit hypothesized that you'd want to do it in conjunction with breathing activity levels required by your sport. This would mean that if you're doing sprint-like activities, then you would want to use these trainers while you're doing sprints, or if you're an endurance athlete, then you would be doing it on your endurance workouts. So you would want to be doing, or if you're doing specific workouts, if you're not actually doing sprints, but if you're doing a certain workout complex, things that have a similar load on your lungs when it comes to activity-wise compared to your sport. And if you think about it, this makes sense when you break it down a little bit more. If you just kind of just think about it and try to think your way through it, you would want to improve your lung function when you're doing your activity specifically. And at the rate which your breath is going, it's going to be different if you're doing a sprint as opposed to a marathon. So that's the differences there. And so you would want to you'd want to use this on top of your normal training regimen in order to improve your muscle function in those situations. The only question I would have here in this logic is that if you're affecting your breathing too much doing this, then are you forcing yourself to breathe differently when you're doing activities, when you're using RMT devices? So do you see a degradation? Say, hypothetically, for an example, if you're only using RMT trainers while you're doing sprint training, and you always do that when you go and do competition, will your breathing be negatively affected? It doesn't look like it from these results, but they didn't test specifically for that. They just looked at overall improvement from using RMTs, or from doing RMT and using these devices. And this is actually another good transition, because understanding that doing RMT is effective is good, but how do we actually do it? So now that we have a path, we don't have the path yet, but now that we have an idea of what we need to do, we can start set at the foundation for a path of how to move forward and really make effective training methods for RMT. There are several ways that you can actually approach respiratory training. To start off, we need to find a way to effectively increase the resistance and load that we have on our breathing, because that's how we're going to improve it, is increase the resistance. The easiest way to do this, actually, if you guys haven't before, is to imagine breathing through a straw or even pursing your lips and sucking in the air as strong as you can, like that. What you'll notice is that immediately, in order to get the same amount of air, you have to work your breathing muscles harder because you're trying to pull the air through a smaller space, especially if you breathe really fast. If I really try to pull all the air in through that tiny space, it's going to be a lot harder than if I just used complete open mouth. Now, pursing your lips all the time when you're breathing or using a straw can be a lot to juggle. Just imagine when you're really trying to focus what you're doing in your workout and push through that last set or that last sprint, and all the while you're focusing on keeping your lips pursed so that you can get some respiratory training in. As you can probably guess, it's more effort than necessary because you're already trying to focus on pushing through the workout. So especially when you get to those last couple sets, that is all you're focusing on. You wouldn't be focusing necessarily on pursing your lips, or at least I wouldn't in my situation. It'd be really difficult for me to juggle all those things happening at once. Now, straw is a pain because it's not very ergonomic, and also there's no variation settings. I can purse my lips to different diameters, but I can't actually change the size of the straw unless I bought a bunch of different straws for each workout. And you can use that, but again, that's a pain because some days you're going to want to change the amount of resistance. So if you just use the same straw all the time, you're not going to be able to change the resistance. You could alternatively, this is another way that you could do some sort of training for your breath. You could move to areas of high altitude because the air is less dense there, just because of the atmosphere. And you're going to have to put more effort to get the same amount of oxygen because of the density. And now, there are several points here. First, not everyone can just up and move to an area of higher elevation for their training. Second, this is not actually the type of training we're focusing on today. We're focusing on increasing load and resistance for your breath. We're not looking at elevation training, which is something specific. One of the products I'm actually going to talk about today is the elevation training mask. Its inspiration was actually to simulate training at high altitudes. But there's one very important point to note here. So if I'm using let's say, the elevation training mask down at where I normally train. And this is the note that I want to point out, is that using the trainers I'm talking about does not actually change the ratio of oxygen where you're breathing. They simply make you work harder for each breath by adding load in a similar way to the straw or pursing your lips. So if I put the mask on and I'm breathing at sea level, it's going to be harder for me to breathe, but I'm not actually changing the oxygen content or the density of oxygen within the air. So I'm getting less oxygen for breath, maybe because I have to work more and I'm not breathing in as much, and I have to take more breaths. But again, that oxygen content is not actually changed, or that this is my understanding of it. So again, since that in my opinion, we have to move to a different alternative, because again, you can't just move. And this is where these breath training devices come in, or these breathing training devices. They give you the difficulty of breathing required in order to improve your breathing muscles, and you don't have to move. So if you want to train at high altitude, which by the way is a whole nother topic, and that is for a different podcast, that is something that has had its own field of research that is extensive and people have really looked at, is can I really improve from training at higher altitudes other than lower ones? And many people would say yes, and then there'd be some people that say you just sleep at higher altitude. But again, that is not the topic that we're covering today. So I've been building this whole podcast up now. And so what are these breath training thingamabobs that I've been talking about? And one thing I want to note about all these products that I really like is that once you increase the resistance for breathing, it forces you to breathe properly into your core, because you have to suck in the air and use all the muscles because it isn't passive anymore. So when I'm breathing normally, although it requires some effort, it's somewhat passive because there's so much air traveling through a larger space. When I decrease that space or when I make a resistance, I'm going to have to work harder to get all that air in. So as you can see, it's going to make you work harder and breathe more properly into your core. So I actually own three different ones made by different companies, and the ones that I'm looking at today that I'll be talking about that I actually have experience with are the Elevation Training Mask, which most of you are probably familiar with, the Power Lung, which is possibly less known to many of you, and the O2 Trainer, which is the one that I personally use now and was the inspiration for this podcast. I just want to put one more quick disclaimer here, because I'm going to start talking about the products. First, I'm not a doctor. I have no degrees in fitness, nutrition, health, wellness, and performance. It's just passions of mine. That's why I talk about them. Second, and this is an important one, is safety. If you decide to use any of these trainers after listening to this podcast or reading about it on your own, be safe and don't do anything that would jeopardize your health. If you're worried about anything, if you feel dizzy or anything like that, contact a professional. Even if you're just worried about it, contact a professional and then they will help you. And the last thing is, I don't have any affiliations with these companies. None of them sponsor the podcast, and none of them pay me. I did reach out to O2 Trainer, like I said earlier, because I personally use their product and I love it. So I wanted to reach out to them and ask their permission for me to talk about on the podcast. I just want to be transparent with you guys and let you know that before I talk about the products, that I use one of them, which is also the reason why I want to do this podcast. And I wanted to learn the science and break down and compare the three that I've used. All right. So after that, those disclaimers, which are important to get out of the way, let's talk about the actual products, which is what you guys probably came here for. So let's start with the Elevation Training Mask, because it's the most well-known and you guys are probably really familiar with it. I'll be talking about the Training Mask 2.0, which is the one I used and I know, and that they recently came out with a new version, I believe, the 3.0. I have no experience with that one, so I will just be talking about the 2.0 today because it's the one that I actually own. Here's what it sounds like, actually. So if I put it on and breathe in. All right. That probably sounded funky for you guys. Sorry for your headphones. But one thing that I really like about that mask design is that it covers your whole face. So I'll try and visually do this for you guys and describe it because I don't have video. It forces you to breathe through the mask no matter what, because it also covers your nose. Coincidentally, this is actually a downside for me because of the rest of the design, because it forces you to exhale with resistance, which that's one of the primary reasons why I use the O2 trainer, and we'll talk about it later. It has a cloth mask portion. I don't know what the actual makeup is. I'm just going to call it cloth for now. And it goes around your head and it wraps around so that you don't actually have to worry about keeping it in your mouth or it falling off or anything like that. And it's actually really well done. It also comes with an extra strap that you can do that goes on the top of the head to hold it more securely. The breathing portion has three valves, two for breathing in and one for breathing out, and all of them have a resistance. You can cut this down to one breathing in valve by covering up one of the portions, and then you have only one breathing out valve. So just two valves are being used then. And then obviously the mask covers your mouth, so there's the opening where you breathe in. And also for more variation, the breathing valves have caps that come with them, and you can switch them out. They have a different amount of holes on them, so it changes the amount of resistance that you get. The only thing that this is personally for me is that with this variation can be a bit of a jump because so on the first cap there's three holes, on the second cap there's two holes. You can do a combination of the two, but I find that it's more of a jump in resistance. I might be using it wrong, I don't know, but there is more of a jump in resistance than the other two, which is a very large variation to all of them, so that you can have more specific resistance measurements. Also, one cool thing that I like about the mask is that you can actually switch out the sleeves that hold on your face. It makes it pretty cool. I know the Bane one is really popular, and it's just really cool, and it's something that I want to point out. In a study published in the Journal of Sports Science Medicine, they actually tested this mask specifically, the 2.0, so not the 3.0. The article is actually called Effect of Wearing the Elevation Training Mask on Aerobic Capacity, Lung Function, and Hematological Variables. I think I got that right. And now, the one issue is that they didn't test high-level athletes, I believe. I would like to see, personally, because I consider myself a bit of an athlete and I really want to improve my performance as an athlete, I really like to look at high-level athletes. They tested moderate athletes, so I'm sure it was fine. In a 6-week high-intensity program into two groups, one control group and one mask group. Both groups saw significant improvements in all the areas that they looked at, ventilatory threshold, pardon my pronunciation, power output, respiratory compensation, and the big one which a lot of people look at is VO2 max. One thing to note, though, is that there was not a difference in the magnitude between the groups of VO2 max and the control. So they changed at the same rate for the control and the people that used the training mask. It runs for $69.99 normally, but I think it's on sale right now actually for $49.99. So you save $20 on their website. So this is a nice thing too, is that it's not super expensive, which is one of those things that I like about it. So those are the details on the elevation training mask. So now we can move on to the next one that I used, which is the Power Lung. This one is similar to the elevation training mask, not because it's a mask though, but because it trains inspiratory and expiratory muscles at the same time. So for this one, here's what this one sounds like for those of you wondering. Again, I apologize for your headphones. This one has two valves and it has a mouthpiece. It extends out and has inspiratory pieces and an expiratory piece, and a single inspiratory piece and a single expiratory piece that all go into one conical area, and then that attaches to the mouthpiece. And the nice thing about this one is I think it has the most variation out of all the ones that I'm talking about, or at least in my head it does. Because the way you up the resistance on it is based on a spring that you have to push the breath against or the air against in order to pass it and open up the valve to then breathe out or breathe in. You just twist the piece that you want to up the resistance on, and it adds more load to the spring, which forces you to push more against it, therefore increasing the difficulty. This one is actually the one that I found to use the most difficult because it comes in varied settings. So you can actually buy different models of it. So they have four levels. It goes here's easiest to hardest. The Airstream, the Breathe Air, the Trainer, and the Sport, which is the one I have, which I believe is the most difficult one. They describe it as for elite athletes. So again, that might be why I really struggled with it, because there's a lot of variation in it, but it's also really hard once you get up into the higher levels to even just kind of open that valve. And again, So like when you compound all these different models and the spring design, you can get a lot of variation how you use it. Now, one thing that I don't like about it is that I find it to be a bit bulky, in my opinion. It sticks out a lot. So from my perception, it's more ideal to not use this one when you're doing your actual workouts, or I find it a little bit difficult for me. I would use it more in between sets or more in like resting periods and try and work on it that way, which is not something that is always ideal because you would like to do it while you're doing certain sprint workouts and everything like that. You would like to do your RMT to make that more difficult. Now the one, and it doesn't have to be, it also doesn't have a really good option for removing the expiration part. So again, I talked about that in the elevation training mask where you can actually remove that. This one, you can loosen up the valve really far, but you still get some resistance. And again, we'll cover why that's important when we get to the O2 trainer. And so this is the study that I had on their website and their research. So they have a research section that actually shows published research on the power lung, which is super helpful. And I really like that. They looked at VO2 max as well as other aspects specifically for the power lung. For this study that I pulled off, they tested elite young male soccer players and they used the power lung device 5 times a week for 4 weeks. And they found that the recovery time in between each of these sprints significantly improved with the help of RMT and the use of the power lung, but they didn't see a significant increase in VO2 max, which is again, something similar with the elevation training mask. And it's one of those questions that comes up to me, where does this come from and how can we solve that? It's the priciest of the three options. So when I look on Amazon right now, they range from $100 to $120, which is the prime price right now. So they are a little bit pricier. So again, cost effectiveness, if that is something that you guys are looking at, this might not be the one for you. So that is the power lung. So now we get to move on to the one that I actually use and that I like the most, and that's the O2 trainer. So I apologize for your ears again. Here's what it sounds like. Now, if you can tell, there's already one difference from there, and that is the breath out. It is not hindered whatsoever, and we're going to talk about that. So I heard about all these products actually on different podcasts, so thank you, podcasters, for putting out good information for me to find tools to improve my workouts and make myself more optimal. This one I actually heard about on JRE with actually Bass Rutten, who's the developer. I believe I pronounced his name wrong. I'm sorry. I think he's the inventor of the O2 trainer. He's very involved with it. He was talking about it and had some interesting ideas, which after listening, I decided to purchase one and give it a shot. After that, I haven't looked back since after I got it, and I really love using the product. And again, that's why I made the podcast today. When he was on the podcast, he described how he used to struggle with asthma. It was an infection, and when he would breathe, it would make it really difficult to perform. And as a successful MMA fighter, if you guys know him, this is really important to get right, especially since the consequences for losing or missing a step or a breath or whatever is really dire. There's a bunch of different ways it can go, but one of those ways being you get knocked out. And so something that he noticed, though he felt like his breathing would get better, sometimes he would notice that his breathing would get better actually after having a difficult time breathing in for a little bit. So I think this one's off the top of my head. This is actually isn't in my notes, but I think he described sometimes at night where he was struggling to breathe, and the next day he was actually perform a little bit better. This led him to think eventually invent this product, and this is what sets it apart from the others, in my opinion. When he was breathing, it was constricting the airway, making it difficult for him to breathe in because, again, there is resistance because you're decreasing the diameter. And this was from his infection. And now, I don't know the exact details here, but from the invention and the way it works, I would logically think that he wasn't having much trouble breathing out. It was mainly breathing in. And that is because the O2 trainer is actually only an inspiration trainer. So where the other two, you have resistance when you breathe out, there is no resistance when you breathe out when it's on the O2 trainer. That makes it unlike the other ones that I talked about today. It has three holes. So this is how the actual product is. It has three holes, a mouthpiece to breathe with, to breathe in. One hole that is a small diameter for breathing in. This is, you can actually use different pieces and remove that one and put new ones on to decrease the diameter size. So you actually get a large variation. I believe it comes with 15 pieces, 15 different sizes, ranging from, I believe, 50 millimeters down to one or two, I think. So a pretty small distance, and it can make it really difficult to breathe. And so that, again, which is the whole purpose of it. And the last hole, which is actually the ingenious part and makes the whole thing work together, is actually a one-way flap, and it's not a hole. So this is how it works. When you breathe in, the flap closes so air doesn't pass through that way. So when you get you get resistance on the way in. So through that little tiny hole, the first hole, you get resistance when you're breathing in. But when you breathe out, it also goes out that original hole that you breathed in, because it's all in the same piece. But since it's a one-way flap, you get no resistance because it just opens up completely and it pushes the flap out so that all the air can go out with no resistance. And that is the simple beauty of it. The principle behind this design is that if you can strengthen your breathing better because you're, the principle behind it is that you can strengthen your breathing because you're able to fully breathe out. With the other trainers, there's resistance on the way out, which makes your breathing less effective. And now to close out, let's look at a study that on the O2 trainer. I also got these from their website as well, that they have linked there, but all of the studies are published in journals and they have a good paper that links all the information together there. So definitely check that out and read for yourselves as well. So there was a couple others that I talked about here. Go check them all out. Participants who used it saw significant benefits. They were able to increase how much oxygen they can take in, but there was significant improvement between sets when they had to recover. This can tie into the fact because you're not hindering your ability to get rid of the carbon dioxide when you're breathing out because there's just a one-way flap there. So you're training yourself to really work those inspiratory muscles and breathe fully out. So you're only providing resistance on the way in. The figure that they have there, they have some really useful figures, so check them out, that there was an improvement in lung capacity as well as an increase in percentage of red blood cells in the blood. I believe there are still studies being done on it. There is a graph there that shows the improvement in VO2 versus VCO2 for women and cross-country athletes, but I can't seem to find the link for it. So if anyone can find that, let me know. So we'll close off with a study published in the International Journal of Sports Medicine that specifically looks at inspiratory muscle training. It's called The Effects of Inspiratory Muscle Training Upon Recovery Time During High-Intensity Repetitive Sprint Activity. Two groups of 12 males each, one control with the other doing IMT, and the other showed, with one group doing IMT and then the control, obviously. They showed an increase in 6% in recovery time between each sprint set. Now, while 6% might not seem like a lot, they said that they did study male sprint athletes specifically, so it might have even said elite. I must have missed writing that in here in my notes, but I believe it said elite sprint athletes. So I'm not sure about the level, but if it is a high level, any percentage of improvement is what you're looking for at that level. You're looking at 0.5, 1%, 2%. So a 6% increase is actually a large increase when it comes to actually improving that. So again, that's why I really like it and it's something that I really use. So after all those studies and talking about all the different products, how do I actually use it? So I like to, every now and then, I throw it in with my sprint workouts to make them more difficult. I like to do it with yoga sometimes too, although sometimes I like to really do deep nasal breathing with yoga to really just feel like I really clear my head. I also do it when I wake up in the morning and before at night. They usually recommend a six-week protocol where you do 30 breaths once or twice a day, and that is not during exercise even. You'll see improvements that way. That's the primary protocol that a lot of people will actually suggest. So I really love the product. And that's it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know we were moving there for a little bit, but again, I really like the product. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's the one that I use, the O2 Trainer. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, or if you have any questions for me, let me know on Instagram, the Lucas High Podcast on Instagram. All the links will be below. And then Vonder Health on Twitter, and then also I'm on Facebook as well. And then hopefully I can get this up on YouTube as well. But if you guys have any questions, please let me know. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, feel free to review it on iTunes or wherever you can review it. And if you really like it, feel free to share it with someone. But that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye. Love you guys.